Good morning.
Good morning.
That was a really good lesson. Thank you. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you that you are with us, that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. Such an encouraging word, such a testimony of your goodness over our lives. And so we thank you this morning that the Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, Lord, gives us exactly what we need when we need it. And so we are grateful, Lord, this morning, and we just give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Fernando and I, you thought you were just only going to hear him, but I guess you're going to hear both of us. Fernando and I have been talking about this for several weeks, about the title of our sermon is New Name, New Beginnings. New Names, New Beginnings. And as we talked about it, I realized that, yes, last Sunday, Jonathan Borman talked about this scripture, if you want to put it up. And he talked about Isaiah 43:18. And this is what it says. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So when you hear those words, when you hear that scripture and those verses, what comes to mind? Anyone? What comes to mind when you read that?
Don't worry about your past.
Don't worry about your past?
Nope.
Anyone else? What comes to mind when you read those words?
Let old things go.
Let old things go. Anyone else?
God is with us even in the dark times.
God is with us even in the dark times. Correct. So for each one of us, when we read those words, it means something different. And so I'm going to let Fernando expand on that.
So as we looked at this verse, there are seven things that we found from this thing. The first one is the word forget. And if you were to look at Psalms 103, verse 12, it says there, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. So God is choosing to remove them from us. There's even, I can't think of the translation that even referred to the fact that it's like he throws those transgressions into the sea of forgetfulness. So, if God does that intentionally, what do you think he's saying here? With these seven things, he's saying this is not a suggestion, this is a command. This is not a suggestion, this is a command. You are told to forget. But so how do we forget? Well, number two, don't dwell. Don't dwell on those former things. Don't rehearse in your mind those things of the past that you don't agree with, that you hate, that you don't like, that you regret. At the same time, don't relive them emotionally in your heart. Because what happens when you begin to dwell on those things in the past that are painful?
They fester.
They fester, right? And so it's not just your mind that's being impacted. Your heart's being impacted. Why? How do you know that? Well, if you check your pulse, you'll see that your heart starts to race. You know, it could be in the middle of the night. You're waking up because you had a dream, because you've been dwelling on something. It impacts your emotions, and then you're just going. You can't seem to slow down. And then, you know, there are certain apps that tell you, just take 1 minute and breathe slowly to bring the heart rate down. The third thing it says, see, right? We're told to see. See, I'm doing a new thing. The word see here is not just passively seeing, but look for something. Look for. Take a look. Find out what's around you. Don't miss out on something that's right there. Okay? Why? Because there's something that's going to spring forth. Right? You know that every spring, certain flowers, certain plants begin to bloom. Certain things come out of the ground. There's, you know, it looks like plain dirt, and all of a sudden you look around and go, and all of a sudden, there's something there. We need to be looking with intentionality for those new things that God is trying to do within us. So look at the soil. Look at the soil of your life. And then number five says, perceive it. Be aware of it. Be aware. Be conscious of what you have in front of you. Now, how do you do that? So let's say that you're strolling through a new neighborhood to look for a house. Now, the first time you go through that neighborhood, you're probably going to go in your car. And when you go in your car, you're going to see certain things. You'll see certain houses and say, I like the style of that house. I don't like that house. You know, you'll go around and say, I'm not too sure about, you know, a two-story. Do I want a single story? Do I want a tri-level? Right? And that's all you're going to see. But the next time, let's say, what if you go into that same neighborhood and instead of taking a car, you take a bicycle ride? Don't you think that if you go on the bicycle, you're going to see a few more things that you didn't notice before in that neighborhood? Right? And then, let's take it one step further. Let's say, next time, let's go for a walk in that neighborhood. So when I'm in a car, especially if there's cars behind me, I can't just stop anywhere. I have to keep going. And so with same thing with a bike. Sometimes you either have to get on the sidewalk or you have to watch out that somebody behind you is going to honk the horn. So if you're walking on the sidewalk, I can stop and then have a conversation with my wife about, well, what do you like about that particular house? You know, the setup. So each of these represent that you're taking a different posture in trying to perceive something. And it means slowing down. Slowing down. He makes a way. He makes a way in the desert. Meaning, there's nothing there that's already structured. All you see is a bunch of trees, right, in a wilderness. But he says he makes a way in the wilderness. He builds a road so that we can go through it. So what happens? Do you choose to believe that he's already building something even if you can't see it? Are you looking for it? Or are you staring at the trees and say in disbelief, like, I don't see nothing. There's nothing there. You know, what's your attitude toward it? And then the seventh thing is streams in the wasteland, right? He's making streams in a wasteland. That means those are two opposites, right? Wasteland means there's nothing of value, of worth. Streams means there's some source of life, right? Because where there's a stream, there's water. And when there's water, it what? It helps things grow. So God is going to make things grow in unusual places. So we got to tap into that source. So if God is going to do a new thing, in order for that to happen, there has to be things that are in place. For example, if I want to swim across the pool, and I'm, you know, when I grew up, there was a swimming pool that if you wanted to swim in the deep end, you had to take a test. And the test was, you have to swim in the deep end on the other side of that rope. You know, this side of the rope is the, you know, where you can still stand up. You get on the other side, and all of a sudden, you can't touch the bottom. So the thing is, if I want to swim to that side, and I'm hanging on here, what do I have to do? I got to let go, right? I have to let go of the edge, and I have to embrace the water by using strokes. And as I use strokes, what I do, I'm pushing myself away from that side till I get to the other side. So this scripture is referring to the fact that we are taking several steps that we need to take to move into the new thing the Lord has for us. Judy, take it away.
One of the things that the Lord just brought back to mind when Fernando was talking about, first, driving by the house, second, taking a bike ride, three, walking. And the fourth thing that the Lord showed me was, if the house is for sale, what do? You then call a realtor and you say, can I come in? You're not going to buy it sight unseen. You're going to come in. And so I believe that the Lord is saying, will you come in to see what I have for you? The new thing, the new season that you're walking into. So it's not just seeing it from the outside and saying, oh, that's really nice what God has for me. But you need to take steps. Knock on the door and come in. Walk in. See every room that God has already ordained for your life. That wasn't part of the sermon, but anyways, that was a freebie. So Isaiah 43:18 talks about the former things. Letting go of the ledge, just as Fernando mentioned. Letting go of the familiar. And the Lord was showing me that most of the time we hang on to the past with arms and hands clenched. And the Lord is saying, would you in faith let go of the things that are off the past? He said, I've heard this statement. He didn't give me eyes in the back of my head so I would look to the back, but he gave me eyes in the front of my head so I would look to the future. So I don't want to dwell. And when I speak this morning, I'm speaking over the last 8 months that God has been speaking to me about not dwelling in the past. What's behind? What I did wrong? What shamed me? What sin did I have that was bad? He's saying, let go of the past. As you ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you, and then you move forward, so you don't need to take it with you. So as Fernando and I were talking about this sermon, the Lord showed me two examples. And I need Maya and Toby to help, and I'll let you know when, okay? So the example that he gave me was, if I am going on a summer vacation, I will not be packing a coat, boots, scarf, hat. I will not be packing that. What do you think that I should be packing if I'm going on a summer vacation? Anyone? Swimming suit? Shorts? Shirt? Flip-flops? Beach towel? What else? Sunscreen? Hat, if there's going to be sunny. I will not pack winter clothes. So I felt the Lord said, there are two types of things that I can do. I can carry a heavy suitcase with the wrong things, or I can carry a light suitcase with the right things. Toby, would you come over and try to pick this suitcase up? Is it heavy? Can you unzip it? Can you start pulling things out for me? What's heavy in my suitcase?
Say it out loud. Unforgiveness?
Unforgiveness. Shame. Disappointment. Someone? Failure. Hurt. Pain. This one's big.
Regret.
Heavy. Okay, now I need Maya. Would you go get the other suitcase?
Thank you, Toby.
Thank you. Maya, is it light? Can you pull it? Okay. We need to put it a different way. Can you turn it? Hun, let's turn it. Hang on. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Maya.
I'll take it.
Can you, you want to take it? Can you see the things in this light suitcase? Forgiveness, hope, faith, love, joy, taking new risk, exercise courage. Now, these things we pack when we allow the Lord to equip us for our next season. Now, if we hang on to these things, if we hang on to sin, disappointment, unforgiveness, God cannot do the new thing. We will not be packing in our future the things that God wants to give us. And so the Lord also showed me, Fernando got hurt about 2 weeks ago, his wrist and his leg, and he was really babying that wrist. He had a brace, he had, they were doing exercises, they were doing different massages.
Medications.
So the thing is that if we get hurt, we wanna cover ourselves and protect ourselves. And so then we don't allow other people in, right? And so there is this statement again, you don't use it, you lose it, right? And that's about exercise, that's about, but if he would have stopped using his wrist altogether, it would have gotten weaker and weaker and weaker instead of stronger. And so what I hear the Lord saying is, can you embrace the healthy pain? We are humans and we are going to have disappointments. People are going to hurt us. It is a fact of life that if you have a pulse, things will happen that it's not in your plan. But the Lord is saying, out of that pain, out of that disappointment, God is causing you to become strong, to seek him, and to run after him.
So as we see that, we realize that if you hang on to these things, you're putting your life on pause. And yet, everyone around you has moved on, is moving forward. And so you're stuck in that certain time period, whatever that time period is. And now I want to look at Philippians 3:13, and we have that slide. And I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. And it says here, I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. And that's referring to the previous verse. But the key here is the second portion. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. What does that demonstrate? It demonstrates that I'm changing my focus from what's behind to what's ahead. It means I'm making a mental agreement. I'm making a change in my mind, right? It also means that I'm making some kind of emotional investment into the new thing. I'm also taking a risk in doing something different. So this involves three things. My will, I make a choice. Number two, my mind, I'm thinking new thoughts. And then number three, my heart. So my new thoughts lead me to embrace emotionally the new thing that God wants to do in my life. So you have to be looking for it because it's going to spring forth. You know, I purchased a car in March and I battled back and forth because that's right when COVID hit us here in Indiana. And I had conversations with Judy. I had conversations with Kevin. I had, you know, and I had conversations with God. And when you look for a car, you You test drive different cars, you look at it, you look at the color, you look at all these things. And the thing that you find out is after you buy it, thinking, you know, I know other people have that model, but they don't have this color. And then after you buy the car, a week later, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, you find 10 people have that same color of your car, the same year, the same model. They're all around. Would you hand me my water, please? So, the other thing is, when you're looking for it, the goal is to perceive it. And what I mean by perceiving is, you have to make a connection between what you see and what you understand. You're making a connection between what you see and what it means. So, if God is making a way in the wilderness, and as I said before, you've got a forest of trees before you, and you can't see the path that he's making, you somehow have to envision it. You have to envision it. Envisioning something in front of you involves dreaming. We have to say yes to dreaming again. So, what does this mean? This is an invitation to a conversation with God. This is an invitation to a conversation with God. Why? Because God is in the business of giving upgrades. He wants to give each of us an upgrade. It doesn't mean that your name, if you get an upgraded name, that your name isn't good enough. It just means that when he gives you a new name, he's trying to present to you a new perception of how you see yourself. He's trying to add to, not take away. So, whenever God begins to do a new thing, we need to ask ourselves two questions. And this is not in your sheet, but here's the first question. What does this mean, God? What does this mean? And the second question is, what should I do about it? It's one thing to know the question and ask the first one in your heart, but you also need the second one to know to take action. So, if you're stuck, how do you begin to participate in this new thing that God wants for you? One of the ways is that God is trying to offer you a new name. Why would he offer you a new name? A new name releases a new identity. So you let the past be behind you, and you let the new name be before you. So you strive toward that new name. So, the Lord wants to give you a new name, a new beginning, and a new season. Right now, it seems that COVID has been lasting for a long time. And it also gives us this idea that we're feeling stuck. But that's not what God has in mind. He wants to give you an opportunity to grow and to learn from this process that we are currently in. Judy?
I wanted to give you a quick example, several examples of people in the Bible that God changed their name. And the ones that we're going to go through is Abram, Sarah, and Jacob. And Abram, his name, it's on in Genesis 17:5. It talked about his name being exalted father. Okay? He was 99 years old, and he was not a father. Okay? So if that's what it meant, how do you think he felt? He didn't have a child. So I think all he wanted was to be a dad. I want to be a dad. Yet God wanted him to be a father of many nations. totally different than his idea of even having just one child. And so we need to remember that God changed their names, but it was with a purpose to see and release a new identity over their lives. And so with Abram, it went to Abraham, and his hope was to be a good dad, and God wanted him to be a great dad. With Sarah, her name meant argumentative. Imagine that. A wife that was argumentative. Who can understand that? Yet God wanted her to be, Fernando Marroquin, be a princess. My princess, mother of many nations. And so both of them were almost 100 years old, and they didn't have God's promise because God had told them he would be. And this is a long story. We can go into the way that he even took matters into his own hand and had his own child in a different way. But God wanted him to have his own son according to the calling and the promise that God had over him. Jacob. Jacob's name was supplanter. And does anybody know what that means? Because I was like, wow. I knew that he struggled with his life, but it means that he took something wrongly from someone else. And then when he became Israel, he contended with God. He went directly to the source. He went directly to God, not to someone else. Where in the past, he would go and he would take someone's belonging forcibly in a bad way. But yet during this time when he contended with God, and I felt like the Lord was saying, go to the source. Do not go to your friends. Do not go complain, but go to God, who is the source of all things.
A modern day example of someone having their name changed comes from one of our own members. You know who Bonnie Berkey is. She gave me permission to tell her story. Now, she still goes by Bonnie, but there are certain things that she wanted you to know. She said that she found herself relating well to Lucy from the book series, The Chronicles of Narnia. What caught her attention the most were Lucy's character traits in the story and her personality. So one day, Bonnie's talking with the Lord, and God says, she hears this phrase, "You are Lucy." This meant, in Bonnie's words, God saw something in me and I could be that. This started a conversation as to what significance it would have to be called this name, Lucy. This conversation, this dialogue, has been going on for 15 years at different intervals in Bonnie's life.
She said to me,
Lucy was the first person to experience the new wonderful world when she went through the wardrobe and she believed it. She embraced that world. She said, Lucy had faith to know what was real. And when she came back from that world, she immediately wanted to take everyone with her. Even if they didn't believe her, it was clear, Lucy doesn't give up. Lucy is tenacious. This indicated that she was, to Bonnie, that Lucy was an initiator, she was a first responder, and she was a leader so that others could experience the same benefits that she had. So with one phrase, God could realign Bonnie whenever she felt that she was lost her focus or she felt she lost her faith. God would just say to Bonnie, you're Lucy. And it would bounce her back to see herself the way God meant for her to see herself. It also gave Bonnie permission to become something different other than what others had labeled her or others had placed limitations on her. Isaiah 62, verse 2. Do you have that verse on the screen for us? It says, "You will be called by a brand new name given to you from the mouth of Jehovah himself." You're given a new name so that you can receive a new identity, so that you will have a new way that God will relate to you. A while back, I was given a word regarding the name Joshua. He said, "Fernando, you're going to be a Joshua. And not only are you a Joshua, but you are going to raise up Joshuas." And at the time that the word was given to me, Judy and I were leading a team of intercessors, 75 people, 100 people. And so I went to Joshua 1 and I looked at verse 6, and it says this, Joshua 1, verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them." Now, I've read that verse many times. But I have a note in my Bible when I felt God really spoke to me. And this is what he said, because I was dealing with intercessors. I was training intercessors. And he said this, "When intercessors pray, they give people the opportunity to get back what the enemy stole or is trying to steal. Their prayers are releasing the inheritance back to the people." Intercessors are Joshuas. They're giving them back their promised land, their inheritance. So, what steps do you take if you want to do the same thing regarding this new name? You'll see that at the tail end of your handout. There are four things that we wanted to bring up. God wants to reveal a new name to you. So how does that happen? One, I ask God to show what Bible character will reveal how God sees me currently. I ask God to show you what Bible character will reveal how God sees you currently. Number two, ask God how he wants to relate to you in this season, you know, in COVID, of your life through this new name. Through this new name. Number three, what is the upgrade that God wants to release over you as you receive this new name? What is the upgrade he wants to release over you as you receive this new name? And then I would say to that, you know, and I'm referring to new character traits that he has in mind for you. And number four, how is the Lord equipping you and empowering you to run with the new name and the new identity? Do any of those need to be repeated? I'll go through them all. As I go through them all, would you go up and just play that last song we did? Ever praise on my lips. So number one, ask God to show you what Bible character will reveal how God sees you currently. Number two, ask God how he wants to relate to you in this season of your life through this new name. Three, what is the upgrade that God wants to release over you as you receive this new name? What is the upgrade he wants to release? And that refers to character traits that he has in mind for you. And number four, how is the Lord equipping you and empowering you to run with the new name and new identity? And for that fourth one, you can look it up on your own, but the verse I thought about was from Habakkuk. Habakkuk. It's a very short book. Chapter 2, verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2. So as you play, as you continue to play, you can even sing if you want. Sing that song. I would like to invite anyone to come up for prayer who feels like, you know, this is a great message, but I really feel stuck. I really feel stuck. And if you would join me in prayer, I can pray with you. Judy can pray with you. Any of the elders can pray with you to come in agreement and saying, I'm cutting this off right now and saying, no more of being stuck. We're going to move forward. So go ahead and sing.